Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. This is going to be a very brief one today, because I realized that most of us are going to be busy not only celebrating, but also using any three-day weekends we may have, if you're like me and you have one, to get caught up on stuff that needs to get done. But, just real quick, I'm going to give you my thoughts on a couple of topics that are relevant. So, buckle your seatbelts. Let's get started. So, first, let's start with the good news. And that would be my thoughts on the inauguration. Needless to say that even though Trump is not my favorite, he says stupid stuff, he's done stupid stuff, he has some baggage, not only politically but also like in his personal life. Even leaving all that aside, I like a lot of his policies and a lot of the people that he's selecting to be in his administration. So I'm happy that he is in, the commies are out, and hopefully we'll have a good economy and things will kind of start to turn around. We can right the ship. Those are my thoughts on that. I know I'm not saying anything that's revelatory here. I know that a lot of y'all are probably thinking the exact same thing. I'm probably preaching to the choir here. But those are my thoughts. And as I have said from the outset, the mission of this show is I want to bring you my perspective on world events, the political landscape, the way people think and act and interact. Now let's move on. Speaking of my thoughts on a political phenomenon, let's move on to the other thing I want to briefly touch on today. And I know that what I'm about to say is probably not the most popular thing I've ever said. But I'm not trying to be the most popular person on the block. I'm trying to be honest. So, with that out of the way, I don't think Martin Luther King deserves his own holiday. That's why, like, I've been telling people that work is closed for Inauguration Day, even though it's actually stated that it's closed for Martin Luther King Day, because I don't think he deserves a holiday. The only person I think deserves a holiday is Jesus, and that's because Jesus is God, and when he came on this earth and was born, he was, you know, God robed in flesh. So I think he deserves holidays that celebrate his birth and resurrection. But I don't think any other person that I can think of deserves their own holiday. There should be, like, memorial days celebrating groups of people who have made sacrifices for causes that we care about, but I don't think that there are very many individual people who deserve their own holidays. And Martin Luther King certainly is not someone I would lump in there, because, yes, segregation is wrong. We can all agree with that. But two things can be true at once, that segregation can be wrong, but also that the government utilized a lot of overreach in trying to end it, and that the ends don't always justify the means. Whether the ends justify the means in this particular case is up for debate. Segregation is wrong, racism is wrong, God created everybody equal. But as I said, the question of whether the ends justify the means in this case can be a matter of debate, probably should be a matter of debate. And the government did utilize a lot of overreach. And there was also a lot of violence used by a lot of the protesters. Mr. King was not one of them, to my knowledge, that used violence. He tended to be one that preached nonviolence, or at least that's what we're told. In my defense, I have not done an extensive amount of research on him. I'm not a Martin Luther King expert. But from everything that I have read about him, he tended to be a more nonviolent person. But a lot of other people in his movement were violent. A lot of other people that were protesting for the same reasons tended to be violent. There were a lot of bombings. There were a lot of killings, assassination attempts. Now, granted, some people will also rightly point out that there were activists on his side, including him himself, who were killed by those on the other side, yes. But two wrongs don't make a right. And I also think that, you know, everybody holds him up as this pastor. But I think he was wearing preacher face. He claimed to be a pastor. And yet, he has been reported as saying that he did not believe in the divinity of Christ. That's like being a mathematician, claiming to be a mathematician, but then saying that you believe that 4 is a color and 2 plus 2 equals purple. Like, if you don't believe in the divinity of Christ, you shouldn't be a pastor. That's why I don't think Unitarian Universalists should be considered Christians, because they don't believe in the absolute truth of the Bible. They think that false religions and the truth are equivalent. And I don't think you can believe that all truth and all falsehood are equivalent and then claim to be a practitioner of the truth for tax purposes or any other reason. So I don't think Unitarian Universalists should be considered a sect of Christianity, because they're just wearing Christian face. They go into buildings they call churches, probably mostly for tax purposes and as a social gathering. But if you don't hold that the Bible is true and that Jesus is the Lord, then you... I know I'm not God, but just from a purely objective standpoint, I don't see how you can be a Christian. Like, that square does not circle. Okay. And so I think that these Unitarian Universalists are wearing Christian face and only putting it on when it suits them. And I think that's similar to what Mr. King did. He claimed to be a pastor. He may have had a title that said he was. He may have had a certificate that said he graduated from seminary, whatever. But I mean, hey, in New Jersey, you can be a teacher and not know how to read. So I'm starting to question whether titles mean much of anything anymore in left-wing jurisdictions and when applied to left-wing figures, because we also have Raphael Warnock in the Senate, claims to be a pastor, but he's basically a communist, and that's basically what King was. He was a communist. He wanted not only racial reform and all that, but he also wanted economic reform. If he hadn't been assassinated, everything that I've read points to he would have shifted gears once he got what he wanted on the race stuff. And he would have moved on to economics, and he would have promoted essentially socialism. He also cheated on his wife, which I know in isolation would not mean we throw the whole man away, but like, it does not help his case considering everything else. Claims to be a Christian, but cheats on his wife. And yes, I know Trump did the same thing, but you always have to evaluate trade-offs. And yes, I've said that mostly when referring to decisions, but it also applies to figures and movements and ideas when deciding how much redeeming value they have. Because nothing is going to be perfect. Nothing humans create is going to be perfect, and no human is going to be perfect, and no group is going to be perfect, because a group has to inherently consist of humans. So then the question is always, how do the flaws stack up against redeeming value? How do we decide how much redeeming value something has? What constitutes redeeming value? Yes, I'm getting into the weeds. I know. But that's basically the calculation we have to make when evaluating politicians. A lot of people don't do that. They either throw the whole baby out with the bathwater if it's somebody they've decided they don't like for whatever reason, or they gloss over completely the fact that somebody might have flaws. There are people out there who think Trump is some sort of chosen one. I don't tend to fall into that camp, obviously. And if y'all do, I mean, I appreciate having you on here. I don't think you are a bad person. But I do think that if you're going to evaluate any human, then a human is going to have flaws. You have to accept that. Now, whether you publicly announce them or not, that's your choice, because they're already known regardless. So you're not really illuminating anything that can't already be seen. But you then do have to evaluate those flaws. You can't just act like they don't exist at all. And you have to calculate the amount of redeeming value that a person has and how that stacks up against the flaws. That doesn't mean that that changes his worth as a person. It just means when you're evaluating whether he's a good politician or not, or whether he's a good figure or not, in the case of King, or a good, like, activist, somebody who is worthy of a holiday or some sort of other accolade, you have to consider those things. Because we don't give everybody a holiday, we don't give everybody a medal, we don't give everybody a reward, nor do I think we should. Because then, you know, those things would not be special. It's like when I was a kid, and I remember at one point being like, why don't we always have Christmas or whatever the celebration was? It may have been Christmas, it may have been a birthday, I don't remember. But then somebody told me if it happened every day, it wouldn't be special. You know, as a kid, you're like, what? But then when you get older and you look back, you're like, yeah, there's something to that. So those are my thoughts basically on Martin Luther King. I think he does not deserve a holiday. I'm not complaining about a 3-day weekend, especially when it happens to fall on the inauguration day. Because history, you know, history is happening. And even though Trump is not my favorite person in the world, I still like, you know, not having to go to work on that day, because I can watch history happen in front of me and get caught up on some stuff that I need to get caught up on. And I'm sure a lot of y'all are in the same camp as me. And I think that King doesn't deserve a holiday, not because of the color of his skin or anything like that. I don't think that skin color has anything to do with it. I think it just has to do with this is what he believed and this is who he was as a person and these are the things he did and the things he said. And the flaws that he has don't... The flaws that he has, they outweigh the redeeming value he would have in a way where he does not have enough redeeming value to be worthy of his own holiday. That does not change the fact that he is, you know, loved in God's eyes. It doesn't change any of that. None of us is better than anybody else as a person. But when deciding if somebody's worth a holiday or any other accolade, you do have to evaluate whether that person has more redeeming value that outweighs the flaws that that person has or the baggage that he carries. You have to make the same, or you should at least, make the same calculation when deciding if you're going to vote for somebody. Because you can't vote for everybody. You literally can't. The ballot says pick one or pick three or whatever the option is. So unless somebody runs unopposed, you can't vote for everybody. So you have to evaluate those same kinds of trade-offs, the flaws versus the redeeming value. And I think that's something a lot of people miss in our society. So those are essentially my thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, or the RSS feed, or iHeartRadio, or Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. And if you'd like to send me an email, feel free to do so at jessiesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll pass this along to anybody you know that may be interested. And have a blessed day.